Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, we're talking Turkey. Now, Turkey is a country that we've covered in some detail on this channel, so this is more of a rolling update, and we've just seen some figures released for inflation for March. And unfortunately, inflation has continued to increase and is now at its highest level for 20 years in Turkey. It's now above 60% and it's continuing to increase. So in this video, we'll go through the inflation figures and look at what's actually driving inflation right now. Alongside inflation, the trade deficit is also getting wider. And the trade deficit is basically the difference between the amount the country is importing and the amount the country is exporting. So if you export more than you import, you'd have a trade surplus. And if you import more than you export, you have a trade deficit. And unfortunately, Turkey is a net importer, so it's building up a trade deficit. And that is getting wider month on month. And the main reasons for that are the energy and food costs. And as you'll know, if you follow the channel, we've seen a huge increase in both of those commodity items since the Ukraine crisis started. I also want to provide you with an update on the deposit protection scheme, and we'll have a look at the cost of that scheme to the Turkish authorities. We'll then go on to talk about the finance minister's latest statements with regards to how he's going to address all of the problems in Turkey right now. And then we'll have a look at what the outlook is for the rest of 2022. And then finally, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months and what the impact of that will be on the global economy. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I always include chapters in my videos. So if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find a link to both Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And I'm delighted to tell you that today's video has been brought to you in conjunction with the Daily Upside. Turkey's annual consumer inflation leapt to a 20-year high of 61.14% in March. And the main drivers behind this increase are the rise in energy and commodity prices as a direct result of the Russian-Ukraine conflict. In terms of the actual month of March itself, consumer prices rose 5.4%, which again is a very high rate of increase. If prices continue rising at that sort of rate, then the compounding impact of those increases would mean that we would have inflation running at significantly above 100%. Consumer prices in the month of March were driven up by transportation costs, which obviously include the increasing price of oil. Transport costs were up 13.29% in the month, and over the last 12 months have increased 99.12%. Producer prices, which are also referred to as factory gate prices, increased 9.19% in March and 115% over the last 12 months. And producer price rises are a really important metric because they give us an indication of what future price rises are coming. Because these are the factory gate prices, and these producers will need to pass through all of these increases to buyers of their products in order to maintain their profit margins. So if we're seeing producer prices increasing 9% in the month, then that means that CPI, the consumer price index, will be rising by at least 9% over the next few months. And just before we leave inflation, I thought it was useful to look at this chart, which shows the movement in inflation over the last 2 years. And you can see that Turkey has been experiencing high levels of inflation consistently over the last 2 years. However, since the new economic policy was brought in, whereby the government decided to start lowering interest rates rather than the traditional method of increasing interest rates at a time of high inflation, inflation has taken off to a stratospheric level. So prior to that point, inflation was running somewhere between 10% and 20%. But over the last few months, we have seen inflation rising to above 50%. And now in March, we are above 60%. And these are incredibly high levels and are entirely unsustainable. Now, before we go on any further, I just wanted to say a few words about today's sponsor. The Daily Upside is a free newsletter that is sent directly to you by email, and you can subscribe by clicking on the link in the description below. And I've been following the Daily Upside for the last few months, and I've found it to be a really useful source of information. As you'll know, I try to find stories that are not in the mainstream press. I'm trying to find the story behind the story, and the Daily Upside is very much on that same page. They recently posted an article talking about the McDonald's franchises in Russia that had had to close. And that triggered a thought process for me, which led to the recent video that I posted about all of the Russian franchises that have now been lost. So you get some really interesting, useful information. And the Daily Upside is written by a combination of journalists and ex-investment bankers. So they've got a good blend of being able to find a story and then present it in a really easy to follow format. And if you do have the time, then please do sign up, because the Daily Upside is sponsoring this channel, and that sponsorship is helping to support the content that I'm producing. So the more of you that sign up means the more likelihood that they will sponsor me again at some point in the future. The trade balance for a country records the difference between the amount the country is exporting and the amount the country is importing. So in layman's terms, it's quite similar to your checking account, your bank account. If you've got more money coming into your account than you're spending, then you will build up a credit balance at the end of the month. However, if you're spending more than you're receiving, then you'll run up a debit balance at the end of the month. And because Turkey doesn't have a lot of natural resources, it's now a net importer. The main industries in Turkey are based upon low-cost labour. So we've got a lot of manufacturing and a lot of facilities, and the country imports a lot of raw materials and unfinished goods. And then it produces and manufactures those materials and goods, and then those finished articles are then exported all around the world. So Turkey buys in a lot of goods for its industry and then exports the finished products. So that model can work very well if you're adding a lot of value to the finished goods. But the problem that Turkey has is that it also imports large amounts of energy. It doesn't have enough natural resources in terms of oil and gas to be able to feed its own requirements. So it's buying in large quantities of oil and gas, which are used for creating electricity, heating people's homes, and also in industrial purposes. So the increases in oil and gas prices that we've seen over the last 12 months have been starting to hurt Turkey. But since the Ukrainian crisis started, it's got a lot worse. And it's also been made much worse by the fact that the Turkish lira has fallen in value significantly. In 2021, the lira fell by 44% against the US dollar. And in 2022, we've seen a continuing deterioration. So since the start of 21, we are now looking at more than 50% reduction in the value of the lira. And the problem with that is that the US dollar is the international currency for energy. So the lira has to be benchmarked against the dollar in the international market when it's buying oil and gas. So the 50% fall in the value of the lira has meant that energy costs have essentially doubled in local currency terms. But of course, they've more than doubled because the price of the energy has also increased at the same time as the value of the lira has fallen. So these dynamics means that Turkey is currently running a deficit on its balance of trade. And that means that it's losing money month on month. Turkey's trade deficit surged 76.7% year on year in March and is now standing at 8.24 billion negative. Turkey's exports rose 19.8% to 22.71 billion in March, but unfortunately the value of imports rose by 31% to 30.95 billion. And the majority of the movement in imports was the increase in energy costs, which rose 156% in the month. The total cost of energy imports for the first 3 months of 2022 is $16.3 billion, which equates to an annual increase of 188%. The total cost of energy imports was $8.4 billion in March and $25 billion for the first quarter of 2022. So these figures are highly concerning because energy is an absolute must for Turkey. It can't cut back on its energy purchases because this energy is being used to create electricity, which is needed by all of the industry in Turkey. So if it cuts back on these purchases, it would mean that it would have to have brownouts where you're looking to reduce the amount of electricity all across the country and have managed blackouts, which we've seen operated over the last month or so. And the problem with that is it then means that you have to shut down some of your factories, and therefore they're not producing anything, and that will lead to a further reduction in exports, and therefore you would have a bigger trade deficit building up month on month. So they have to continue buying energy, there's no question about that. They need it to keep the lights on and to keep the economy moving forward. But the problem that they've got is all those energy purchases are needing to be made in dollars, and they're running out of dollars. As at the 25th of March, Turkey had 15.96 billion in foreign currency reserves. And that compares to the 8.4 billion that it has just spent in March on energy costs. So they've got less than 2 months worth of foreign currency left to be able to keep purchasing energy. So we're getting to the point where Turkey needs to find some more currency from somewhere, and they're running out of options. Now, Turkey has been aware of the foreign currency problem for a long period of time. And on the 21st of December, a deposit protection scheme was brought in to encourage the people and the companies of Turkey to place more money with the central bank in exchange for a protection scheme to ensure that they didn't lose out in the event that the lira devalued further. So what was happening in Turkey prior to this was that a lot of the Turkish citizens and companies were putting all of their savings into US dollars. So they wanted to have their money in dollar currency to protect them from the continued devaluation of the lira. Because if you have a million lira and the lira devalues by 50%, then your million lira is now effectively only worth half a million lira in the international markets. So you've lost half of your money just because the lira has devalued significantly. So a good way to protect you from that devaluation risk is to put your money into dollars. Now, the Turkish authorities were aware that there's a lot of dollarization going on in Turkey. It's reported that up to 2/3 of all transactions in cash are taking place either in dollars or euros in Turkey. And that's because people have more confidence in those currencies. So in order to restore confidence in the lira, the government brought in this deposit protection scheme whereby they offered really high rates of interest. So up to 20% interest was being paid on the deposit. But in addition to the high rates of interest, they also offered a protection scheme in the event that the lira devalued further. So what this said is that if the lira falls by 10% against the dollar, we will give you an additional 10%. We will make good that shortfall in the value to protect the value of your deposit. So the Turkish Central Bank were essentially taking on two costs. They were paying interest to depositors, but they were also making good any movements in the value of the lira. And in addition to attracting in lira deposits, the government also asked all of the citizens and the companies to hand over any foreign currency deposits they had. So they were basically looking for US dollar and euro deposits as well, so that they could use that currency for some of the treasury purposes like buying energy. Now, the scheme has proved to be very popular, and as of the 23rd of March, it had raised 591 billion lira, which is roughly the equivalent of $40 billion. But unfortunately, the vast majority of those deposits are actually in Turkish lira, around 9.5% of the 40 billion, so roughly about 3.8 billion is in currency deposits, and the remaining 36.2 billion is in Turkish lira. And the cost of this scheme to the Turkish Central Bank is large. So the interest that needs to be paid on that $40 billion is roughly around 20%. So that equates to about $8 billion that they will need to find just to pay the interest. But in addition to the interest, there has also been some negative currency movements. So when the scheme was brought in on the 21st of December, the exchange rate to the US dollar was trading at around about 11.4 lira to $1. That rate has deteriorated significantly and is now trading at around 14.5 lira to the dollar. So we've seen a deterioration of around 25% in the value of the lira since this scheme was introduced. So that means that the Forex protection mechanism that relates to this scheme is going to cost the Turkish Central Bank another $10 billion. So the total cost of gathering in that $40 billion of additional deposits is around $18 billion. That is absolutely huge. And unfortunately, they've only managed to raise about $3.8 billion of foreign currency. So when the scheme was first announced, it looked like it was a good mechanism of bringing in overseas currency, which the Treasury could then use for making purchases. But that hasn't really worked out. And then when you apply the $3.8 billion that they have gathered in against the $18 billion cost, This is a massive loss-making operation for the Turkish Central Bank. So at some point, they're going to have to find the money to be able to pay this back to depositors, or the depositors will find that the scheme just won't be able to either pay them the interest or make good the movements in the currency, or both. As you'll know if you follow the channel, at the end of 2021, Turkey decided to take the radical step of reducing interest rates at a time of high inflation. Now, the classical theory for inflation is that if you've got high levels and you want to bring it back down, then the best way to do that is to increase interest rates, because increasing interest rates increases the cost of borrowing in the country, and therefore it discourages people from taking out new loans, and anybody that has an existing mortgage that doesn't have a fixed rate will see an increase in their cost of borrowing, and any companies that have floating rates will also see an increase in cost of borrowing. So therefore, it reduces the amount of disposable income in the economy, and therefore should reduce spending, and therefore should bring prices back down. That's the theory. But Turkey decided that they didn't like that theory, and they believed that the high interest rates were actually driving higher inflation. Now, at the time, interest rates in Turkey were very high. They were at 19%. And the government in September decided to reduce it from 19% to 18% to test the water to see what would happen. And the net result in October was an increase in inflation from 19.58% to 19.89%. Encouraged by this outcome, at the end of October, the authorities reduced interest rates from 18% to 16%. And that resulted in inflation increasing to 21.31% in November. Interest rates were reduced again to 15% in November, and on the 17th of December, the rates were reduced further to 14%. Now, the impact of these rate reductions was devastating on both the Turkish lira and the rate of inflation. We can see that inflation increased to 36% in December, 48% in January, 54% in February, and 61% in March. So this contrarian strategy that Turkey is following does not seem to be working. There is no evidence that reducing the interest rates is having any benefit on inflation. In fact, the evidence tells us that it's having a really negative impact. It's driving up inflation much faster than it was when interest rates were higher than they are today. However, despite this evidence, the Turkish finance minister is still sticking by this strategy as a way to solve the high rates of inflation. And he stated this week that Turkey is taking determined steps to bring inflation down based on lower interest rates and a forex protected deposit scheme which has stabilized the lira. Which all sounds great, but the words and pictures just don't match here. What he's saying and what's actually happening are completely detached. There is no sign of inflation coming down, and there's no sign that the deposit protection scheme is actually stabilizing the value of the lira. The lira has been relatively flat at certain points, but that's because the Turkish Central Bank are buying lira in the international markets to keep the price at that level. As soon as they run out of forex, then unfortunately we're going to see a run on the Turkish lira. We will see it devalue again, and that's going to have a compounding impact in terms of reducing the purchasing power for the energy that they need to buy, and therefore inflation will drive up further as well. So we don't really have anything at the moment that's being done in Turkey that's addressing the problems that they have. And we're not seeing any evidence of any inflation coming down anytime soon. In terms of the outlook for Turkey, I think we really need to look at what's happening with regards to energy consumption and also what's happening with the population. Turkey has a population of around 85 million, and that population is growing year on year. If we have a look at this chart, it shows the age distribution of Turkey. So you can see that there's a large percentage of the population that are under 40 years of age and a significant amount that are younger than 20. So we've got a young, dynamic population that is expanding. And that growing population is translating into an increasing demand for energy. In 2021, Turkey's electricity consumption increased by 12.4%. In terms of installed energy capacity, natural gas power plants equate to 28% of the capacity. Hydro plants are 25%, wind power 11%, and coal 11%. So Turkey has quite an advanced infrastructure in terms of renewable energy, but it's had major problems with the hydro plants. They haven't had enough water, and those plants have been underperforming. And when you've got an increasing and constant demand for energy, that means that you have to move to your fossil fuel plants, because that's your only option if your renewable plants are not delivering. And in 2021, 42% of all electricity came from natural gas in Turkey, 26% from coal, 13% from hydro, which compares to 25% of the installed capacity, and 10% from wind. So what all of those figures tell us is that we are going to see continued demand for energy and increasing demand because the population is getting larger and everybody is using more power. And the problem that Turkey has is that it now has a high dependence on natural gas for producing a large chunk of that power. And it's having to buy in that natural gas in the international markets using foreign currency. So the problem for Turkey is that they're going to need more foreign currency and they're going to need to pay higher prices as prices continue to rise in the international markets. So the outlook for Turkey is quite negative in terms of there's no quick solution to the main problem that they're experiencing right now. In fact, it's likely to get worse through the rest of 2022. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, the inflation figures that we are seeing coming out of Turkey get worse every single month. 54% in February was astronomical. That is unsustainable. We can't have the economy carrying on at that level. But 61% in March is even worse than where we were this time last month. Now, these figures obviously do include some of the impact of what's happening in Ukraine. But as that conflict goes on further and we get more uncertainty, and we're now looking at risks of potentially the EU pulling out of buying Russian gas and Russian oil, which will send prices even higher. And we're also seeing some geopolitical issues with regards to some of the atrocities and alleged war crimes that are happening in Ukraine. All of these factors are likely to result in higher energy costs and shortages. And I haven't even touched on what's happening with regards to wheat prices and wheat shortages in this video. As you'll know, if you saw my recent video, Turkey consumes the most amount of bread per capita out of any country in the world. And they don't produce enough wheat, so they're having to import it. And there's a major problem with wheat right now because Ukraine and Russia account for a large chunk of the global exports in wheat, and obviously none of those exports are taking place right now. So prices of wheat are rising dramatically and therefore will put even greater burden onto the Turkish economy because they will need to buy in that wheat and they may need to subsidize the price of that to make sure that the population can afford to buy it. So there's a lot of factors driving up prices right now in Turkey. And an additional problem that they have is the value of the lira. So the lira has fallen 50% since the start of 2021, and there's continuing pressure on the lira. And we know that the Turkish Central Bank is keeping the level at the rate it is right now by buying currency in the international markets. But unfortunately, the Turkish Central Bank is running out of international currency. They're down to around 2 months' worth of currency left to be able to pay for energy. So once that runs out, they won't be able to support the value of the lira, and it's likely that we could see the lira fall further in the international currency markets over the next few months. So what's likely to happen to Turkey in the short term? Well, we've already reported on the fact that we've seen dollarization. A lot of the cash transactions are happening in dollars and euros in Turkey, and that's likely to continue further. There's no real solution to the inflation problem, and the fact that Turkey is sticking by this policy of reducing interest rates is insane. That's only going to drive up inflation higher. And as the crisis in Ukraine continues, it will continue to drive up prices in the international markets and put more pressure on those inflationary numbers for Turkey. So there's no real light at the end of the tunnel here. Turkey is in a major crisis. Prices are out of control. The Turkish lira is weak and the trade deficit is getting larger month on month. So at some point, Turkey will run out of cash. It's going to need an injection of money from somewhere. Either it will need to issue more sukuk bonds, or it will need to do more currency swaps with friendly countries like the UAE, or it will need a bailout. But something will need to happen in the next 3 to 6 months in Turkey to make sure that they can keep the lights on and they can keep all of its industry producing. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and educational. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Just a quick update on the Joe Blogs 2 project. The subscription levels are going well. We're pretty much there in terms of what we need in terms of monetization, but I need more watch time. We need you to watch more videos to get to that magical 4,000 hour mark. It's a big ask, and I know they're not the videos that you would normally be watching, but if you could go to the page and click on one of the videos and then maybe go make a cup of coffee or pop out to the shops and run some errands, and when you come back, you'll have run up a few minutes for me. And then once we get to that point where we've got the 4,000 4,000 hours, we can then start this project and experiment for real. And hopefully some of the people watching this video right now could be YouTube stars of the future. So thanks very much for helping out with this initiative, and thanks also for watching this video all the way to the end.